Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/move to gas.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal joins us once again. Good afternoon, Mairead.
Good afternoon.
Sean on Twitter has a question for you before we start talking about things. Can you ask Mairead why we don't export more to the Middle East? I live here and it's a potential gold mine. There are some products, but they're always sold out.
Well, I couldn't agree more with him because I had a son working out there for 4 years.
That's
in Saudi
right,
Arabia.
Did, yeah.
Yeah, and he was over and back selling proteins, meat, fish, chicken and beef. Beef, lamb, fish and chicken. And one of the biggest problems, though, we have is the transport timetable. Getting chilled product, meat products, out to Saudi and those the countries around the Gulf is very long. Now, it doesn't really pay unless you're using really high-end cuts to send it by plane. And if you're sending it by boat, you're the sell-by date on supermarkets and in restaurants and everywhere in Saudi in particular is really, really tough. I think, I don't know, is it maybe 28 days remaining has to be on the stuff? And if anything goes out of date, particularly when it comes to fresh produce, you know, the restaurants, anywhere that you supplied it, go get closed down, you get closed down. So the big problem is the time scale of getting it by boat over to Jeddah and through the port system and out into distribution, and to do it before the time period that's allowed in those countries elapses.
Mm. So does that mean, though, that lots of countries then that are relatively far from us, there's always going to be a restriction on how much meat we can send?
Possibly, yeah. It is a difficulty in terms of, I think the bigger difficulty with Saudi now, I'm not sure of this, is because their best buy date, you know, the meat still maybe has a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But their best by date is much more stringent than a lot of other countries.
Yeah.
So Australia, for instance, can get there a lot quicker. I think they have a week up on us. But if you get held up in a port and you've got a container worth €300,000 and you only get it into the city or into Saudi, for instance, you know, a day before the sell-by date, you've got an awful job on your hands to try and get it out and get it distributed. So it's to do a lot with the time. Now, also, I mean, those markets are being developed at the moment because before that, you know, because of the whole mad cow disease, BSE, we were locked out of that market as well. So it's only literally opened up in the last few years. So a lot of the product that you see behind the scenes, maybe such as, you know, burgers, all of that kind of stuff, a lot of that is being made from Irish beef, and but it wouldn't necessarily be labelled as such.
Yeah, right. Okay, so today we're talking about cow behaviour. What do we need to know about cow behaviour?
Well, because a lot of people now are on their holidays at the moment, right? Mm. And are heading for somewhere and they need to be there at a certain time, and they come across a herd of cows and a farmer. And the farmer is there walking behind the cows, slapping their back, just a little tap on the back. And everybody is going along. The driver behind is getting edgy and trying to see, can he overtake and can he rush out by the cows? And sometimes they will do it. So why do people drive cows? Or why is it absolutely essential that cows are driven nice and easily down the road? And you might say, what the hell are they doing on the road in the first place? Well, because in a lot of cases, the platform of land that's around the farmhouse or a yard can be very small, and two fields down the road, because the way the farm was split up when granny was there and granddad or great granddad 3 generations ago meant that the cousin got this bit of it and you are own a bit that's way down the, you know, half a mile down the road. So anyway, it's very important because lameness is a real issue in cows. Now, men don't suffer from lameness the same way as women do. Because women,
is that to do with footwear?
It's to do with blessed footwear, of course. Don't you see half the people with their shoes off by the time the night is over at a wedding or at the races or anything like that? So with cows, they don't get the chance to take their shoes off because they don't wear them. But lameness can have the very same impact. And anyone who can't walk in a pair of shoes, it's the only thing to think about. Mm. They can't even think as they're talking because the pain in their feet is so bad. So if you've got lame cows, you've got very unhappy cows, and you've got cows that won't milk as easily and they won't graze even as much because they can't be walking around. And there was a vet over from New Zealand who's a specialist in lameness, Niall Chesterton. And he talked about how it was really important for farmers and the public and anybody else who come across cows to understand cow behaviour. Because it plays a big role in you know, the way they react to the pressure it puts on them. And then that in turn causes lameness. So one of the things, cows have panoramic vision, their eyes are at the side of their head. So they can't see straight ahead and they can't see behind them. But if you allow them to turn their heads, they're able to see behind them and see in front of them. Mm. So if cows are stressed or agitated by something, they have their head up in the air. They're not looking down at the ground. And if the head are up in the air, they can't really see properly where they're going or where their feet are going. So their feet are going to be walking on stones, walking into potholes, walking into all sorts of things. Whereas if they're nice and relaxed, the head is down, they're able to see what's in front of them, they're able to avoid any stones or any holes, and they're able to walk. And wherever their two front legs go, their two back legs follow behind. So getting them stressed, if they're getting agitated, the heads are up and they're not really watching what they're at.
Yeah.
What they're doing when it comes to walking. The other thing is that in every herd, there's dominant cows. Now, you could call them bullies. It's a bit like human race.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a herd animal.
It's a herd animal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the cow is an animal of prey, so she's always looking out for danger.
Mm.
And if she's agitated or if you're rushing her or trying to shout or shouting at her or anything like that, head will go up and she won't know what she's doing, and it's all going to cause stress and go into the feet in the form of lameness. But cows can be dominant. So when you've got a herd of cows coming in, they reckon, according to this guy anyway, about half the cows, the dominant cows, are up at the front of the herd, a quarter in the middle and a quarter at the back. And they set the pace at which the herd moves. And if they stop, there's no point shouting, because the less dominant cows won't want to pass them, because if they do, they'll get a puck in their stomach or in some part of them from the other cow, the dominant cow.
Mm.
They won't actually pass out, past the dominant cows. So then you're going to have double sets of stress on the less dominant cows. They're being shouted at from behind, they're being pushed forward. What's hitting them as soon as they go forward are the dominant cows, who are going to give them the equivalent of a good knock.
Mm.
And they don't want that either. So again, you've got to know where are your dominant cows. You've got to have a nice measured way of bringing them all home together so that there isn't going to be distress, especially among the less dominants, because they're being pushed forward and they can't get there with these other ladies. Also, when you bring cows down along a roadway, down to home, there's a bunch of them that will want to get into the yard first. And there's outside every milking parlour, there's a collecting yard where all the cows wait until they go through the milking parlour and finish milking. So there's the ones who want to get into the milking parlour, into the milking yard first, the collecting yard, but they don't want to go into the milking parlour first. So you need to have space, according to Niall, to give them room to resettle and reorganise themselves. So you might like to race into the church, to be at the first of the church, but it's equivalent to that, but you don't want to be up at the door of the first either.
Mm.
So you don't want to go in to be milked first. And so you need that bit of space. They need their personal space. And cows needs personal space. And if you get too close to them, they'll be inclined to rush to move past you. So personal space is important as well. And he's also saying that, you know, when you have a milking parlour, you have cows going in one side and then you have cows going in the other side. So there's a, you know, you're changing the milk machine from one side across to the other. So filling up a row of cows, whether it be 8 or 12 or 16 cows, can be time consuming, you know, because they'll get as far as the door and then they'll turn back and come back and they won't go in because they don't want to be the first in, or they want to go in with their mate Maggie down at the back of the thing and she's chatting to Sheila and none of them will move and they'll only go in together. And so what he's saying is, you know, if you've got a 12 unit milking parlour and you can fill 10 nice and easily and the rest of them are kind of shimmy shamming about going in, leave them be. Don't put them under pressure to go in where they don't want to go in. You know, they want to go in order. They want to maybe be the first one in and they didn't get in the first time this time. And they're not going to go in right three quarters way down. So it's just, it's extraordinary, you know. Like, oh, there's another thing as well. Music in the milking parlour. Farmers swear by music in the milking parlour.
Yeah, that's
says
come
it
up
settles
before,
the cows. Yeah. And what this expert now says in terms of lameness, he says, if it takes the pressure off the milker, if it makes them more relaxed, yes, have the music on.
Mm.
Because, you know, you shouldn't be making noise or shouting or banging gates or anything like that, because all of that puts cows on edge. It increases pressure on them, and that goes straight to their feet in the shape of lameness. But he said one of the things you don't do is, if you're playing country music or classical music, you don't go in and put Metallica on the next day. So you've got to make sure that everybody that everybody who's milking, that they're milking to the same kind of mood music. Mm. And even just the language. You know, people have, you know, chukoo and shushoo, and, you know, they use all sorts of kind of words to move cows on, you know. You know, up, go on, up, 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 up. And, you know, so consistency there even. So if, you know, Mammy's bringing the cows in one evening and Johnny's bringing them in the next evening and Daddy's bringing them in the next night or whatever, that the people use the same words to drive on so that there's no confusion. And the other thing is that cows have memory and they do recognise faces. So if you've been mean to cows, they won't forget it.
Okay.
So, and again, if you're in that kind
these
of...
These more and more cows sound like teenagers to me.
Yeah, but you know, you know, if you're mean, you know, you're on the alert. Like if you've had a bad dentist and he's, you know, hurt yourself, you'd be on edge. So again, it's all about taking the pressure off them. And these are little things that can be done. And lameness is a big issue now, you know, and cows can get it, and they can. It's not a matter of having like a smooth tarmac road, which nobody has when they're bringing cows out to the fields. I mean, it can happen on a smooth tarmac road, or it can happen inside in a set of cubicles where they've lovely mats to lie on, and everything is as comfortable as you could possibly get, because, you know, they like it to be nice and calm, no banging, no noise. They like that personal space. Beware of the dominant bullies and what they're doing, because the quieter ladies won't want to kind of, you know, get past them or be bullied by them. And, you know, just have that consistency all the time.
Mm.
So the farmers found it fascinating, this whole cow behaviour stuff. And this guy is a noted expert on cows. So it's all two whole pages about it is in this week's Farmer's Journal.
Sean says we don't drive cattle anymore. We stay at the front with a bucket of nuts and they just follow just by shaking the bucket.
Yeah,
which, well, I assume they know what that noise means.
They've got the sound. Yeah. Now, there was a piece on the article when I was reading it, and I didn't quite understand it, which kind of tallies with that. Usually, if you want the cows to go one way, you go the other way.
Mm.
And, you know, so... I'm not sure, but you mean if you wanted cows to go exactly where, if you didn't trust cows to know where they were going, you'd be standing in front of them. And very rarely do you see people in front of a herd of cows. They're behind them.
Right.
So,
okay.
You know, so they're doing it at their own pace. They're doing it nice and gently. So just the next time you're in a queue behind a load of cattle or a load of cows, just think there's a reason why they're taking it nice and gently and nice and slowly. It's not to drive up the blood pressure of the drivers behind them. It's because, in actual fact, it's the best way to handle the animals.
And if you're beeping, you're just going to make matters worse.
You're just going to make matters worse. They're going to get frightened. They're going to get stressed. They're not going to be thinking about what they're doing. Whereas this nice mooch, mooch, mooch on the way home is the way to handle it.
Irene in Galway has a question too. Are beef cows kept in a field? I grew up amongst 1,000 fields and always thought all cows were kept in a field. Maybe the shed for the winter, but my dad says that the cows in a field are only milking cows, and cows grown for meat are kept inside always.
Well, if you're talking about suckler cows now, there's the two types of cows. The black and white ones you generally see, and some brown ones are, but the mainly black and white ones are Friesian cows, and they are milking cows.
Mm.
So they're being milked every day, twice a day, for maybe 10 months of the year. And then they have their calf, and they go in, you know, in wet parts of the country, they can go in September into sheds. In really good dry parts, they don't have to go in until Christmas, and maybe only stay in for 2 months. Suckle cows are more the brown cows or very black cows. You know, they're Charlie, they're Limousine, they're Simmental kind of breeds, Hereford, Angus as well. And they have their calves with them. So if you see a field where you've got cows with calves and even kind of quite hefty calves, they're beef animals, and they're out just as much as the dairy cows.
Yeah.
So we're in a unique situation in this country because we can feed so many of the livestock outdoors on grass for most of the year in most parts of the country. And it makes us very unusual. In most parts of the world, that all the livestock are indoors all the time.
Yeah, and which means...
So beef animals are outdoors as well. Now, if they're fattening cows, maybe to go for meat, they might be indoors to be fattened. But equally, they could be outdoors on grass and some, I wasn't going to say cereal, but, you know, some food, nuts, animal food.
Right, the Comera Mountain lamb is going to get some sort of EU recognition.
Yeah, this is this... it's special protection. It's called a protected geographical indication. And so if you're producing champagne in France, you can only call it champagne when it's there. If you're doing Parma ham, they'd be two of the big well-known ones. Now, we have four in Ireland. The Waterford Blas has protected status. Mm. So has Clare Island salmon, Connemara Hill lamb and the Timoleague brown pudding. And now the Comera. And actually, when I was researching this little piece, I found a new word that we all had fun trying to get the definition of. And it seems to be only around the Nyre Valley and down around the Comeras. It's Coombs, if you've ever spelt it or heard it, C-O-U-M-S. And it means kind of hollow little valleys. So if you think of it, the sheep on mountains are hefted. They know their territory. They know where they are. And it's a bit like when I was talking about the burn last week. There's a particular flora that, and you know, that they're eating there. There's, you know, herbs, there's grasses, there's flowers. And it's unique to that part of the country. And if you can prove that there is that geographic uniqueness and this special, you know, you can apply for the special designation. It's a good thing to have because it means you can't kind of set somebody else up and produce Comera lamb above in the Nafeen Mountains or up above in the Wicklow Mountains. It can only come from that part of the country. So it's a kudos when it goes, you know, when it gets that. You know, it helps with sales, it helps with marketing. It's a unique selling point for the lamb, particularly maybe if it was being exported or even if it was being sold speciality-wise. It's just that, you know, this is a special product coming from this area. It's unique because of it, because of the different circumstances. And anyone who's gone around the Comeras will know that.
Okay, and good for them. Mairead, thanks a million for coming into us.
Thank you.
Mairead Lavery there from the Farmers Journal, back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big cheque for the delivery guy? GasNetworks.ie/movetogas.